Lord, I just ask that you would fill me up with your Holy Spirit and that you would bless this message, Lord, and just make it very simple and easy to digest, God. I ask this, Lord, in your name, amen. So, just some thoughts on the prodigal son, particularly the older brother. So, the prodigal son is a parable about a father and his two sons. Now, for purposes of this podcast, I'm not going to read it through. It's located in Luke 15. But essentially, one of his sons who worked for him, this is the rich father, and one of his sons that's worked for him, the younger son, decides to take his inheritance early. His father gives it to him, perhaps reluctantly gives it to him, who knows, not wanting his son to lose it all. But that's exactly what his son does. The younger son goes out while the older brother remains at home, and he squanders it on riotous living, and he ends up being poor and destitute, and he finds a person to work for, and he's just eating so poorly, and the quality of his life is so bad that he realizes, you know what? I need to just go back and go to my dad and just work for him, because even his servants are doing better than I'm doing right now. So he rationalizes that my dad's, you know, obviously he's going to be ashamed of me. He's not going to want to take me back as a son. So I'm going to go back as a servant and I'll still be living better than how I'm living now. So he sets back. Father sees him on his way back, runs towards him, gives him the complete opposite response. The complete opposite response that a father would give, and loves him, and brings him back as his son. But not only that, he makes a big deal about it. He celebrates it, and he throws a party, and brings out the fatted calf. Now, the older brother, okay, the older brother, and this is where I really want to hone in on us, and what I feel God has put on my heart concerning how to really learn from this older brother. Because our master, he's a great teacher, he's a great storyteller, and he doesn't just say things just to say them. You know, just like in a movie you watch, like they don't just give you a certain detail for no reason. You know, you look at a Marvel movie and at the end credits they have like, you know, some little teaser of what's going to happen in the next movie. It's deliberate. Everything they do is deliberate, right? So the point is, when Jesus tells a story, Jesus is the perfect storyteller. Everything he says has a purpose. And so he says that the older brother was not celebrating and enjoying his younger brother's return. In fact, particularly, he was most grieved by the way the father was so celebrating over him. And the father, of course, came to him and said, well, what's the problem? He says, look, I mean, I've been working for you all this time and you've never thrown me a party. And the father said, you could have had this at any time. You know, everything I have is yours. But your son's come back. I mean, your little brother's come back. You know, and I want to keep him. I, you know, he's come back, and I want him, and I'm happy. And so the older brother is not pleased about this. And I really want us to take away something from this older brother. Now, you know, I've made this mistake in my life and in my sharing, and you know, I see it often, where we kind of talk about professing believers, and we kind of make them into two categories. Okay, you're either a professing believer who is bearing fruit, living for the Lord, doing what you need to be doing. Okay, or you're a professing believer who's not bearing fruit, and therefore you're not saved. Therefore, you're not authentic. Therefore, the wrath of God is waiting for you. And I'm just so disappointed, because that's not how God called you to live, right? We have that kind of, there's that kind of mentality among many other things that's crept into the church and into my mind and my heart as a Christian. It's happened to me. And I've acted like this, okay? But yes, the Bible does indeed speak about the way a Christian should live. And it does talk about that first type of Christian, where the Christian professes and then bears fruit and shows work through faith, okay? That they are Christian. There's evidence of their faith. I mean, they live that life. The Bible also talks about, and Jesus has quite a few parables about, those who say with their mouth that they're a believer. They profess God, but they actually deny him and they don't know him. So it makes sense that that mindset exists, right? But here's the other thing, is that there's a third category that the Bible talks about. And that category is a person who is going through the sanctification process. A person who professes Jesus Christ and they're going through the sanctification process. They may live carnal, 1 Corinthians 1. They may struggle with issues and struggle with sin and struggle with fighting that good fight of faith, and they're in a process. They may need to be chastened, Hebrews chapter 12. They may need to be put out of the church, 1 Corinthians 5. But they're still a brother or a sister in the Lord. And the Bible does very clearly talk about this group. Now let me go even deeper with you, okay? Let's go to a personal level, okay? Not only should we not look down upon anyone else, but what I discover that can happen in the mind of a Christian is when we find that we're not living according to the standard of God's word, we automatically put ourselves in that second second category of the black and white, am I saved? Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul invites the Corinthians to examine themselves to see whether they're in the faith, right? That is not every single hour of the day you're wondering if you're saved. That is a healthy, I'm living a life that's inconsistent with the word of God right now. I'm not following God's word. Did I really believe? Okay, that's different than questioning your salvation all the time because you're wrestling with X, Y, or Z. You know, what happens is that because we have made it so black and white, we sometimes put ourselves in a place of not being able to receive God's grace. Okay, if thankfully in this story, the younger brother, he just wanted to go back as a servant. If there were no servants, he would have never went back. He would have been in the mindset of the older brother. I wasn't serving faithfully. Therefore, I'm disowned. Therefore, I deserve to stay in this place of a horrible condition. You know, the only thing that got him going back to his father wasn't that he knew his father was full of grace and love and mercy. It was because he thought that he would be rejected unto something that would be a better situation. He would be a servant. And what happens is just like, you know, it's just like us as Christians, is that when we look at God and we put him into this black and white lens of he's either looking at me as a genuine, authentic, I'm for the Lord, I'm on fire, or I'm just unprofitable and not saved. Then what happens is we forget about the most important thing we need to understand about God in this walk is his love, is his grace. And it paralyzes us and immobilizes us in our own funk, in our own sin, because we've made a law that you're either, if you're Christian, the only type of Christian there is an on fire Christian. If you're not on fire and living for the Lord and walking it out in every way possible, then you may not even be a real Christian. Or you're a second class type of Christian that needs to constantly examine whether you're saved or not. That mentality is what can keep a lot of believers stuck in addictions, stuck in not enjoying their relationship with Jesus and not being changed by his love. And then it also affects those who quote-unquote think that they're in the category of, I'm an authentic Christian because I'm doing everything God's asking me to do. It creates and perpetuates an attitude of legalism. See, this is why this story of the prodigal son is important. It has many levels to it. The idea of legalism and how it impacts us and how it stops us from being changed by God's love. And I really want you to think about how you're impacted by your own legalism. And legalism is just, we can see it by how we respond to our own weakness, to our own sinfulness, to our own tendency to drop the ball and not live right before God, or in whatever capacity it is. How we deal with that determines what we really believe about the gospel. How do we approach our failures as a Christian? Do we have the mentality of the younger brother before he went back and the older brother of, I'm not worthy? Or only those who are doing X, Y, and Z consistently forever, those are the ones who are entitled to something from God? Because that's the mindset of the older brother. See, the younger brother, he had a bad mindset too. He didn't say, I'm going to go back because of God's grace, or because of my father's grace, rather. He said, I'm going to go back because I get to be a servant and my father won't accept me, but he'll probably at least let me be a servant. So the younger brother and the older brother kind of were aligned in a way. The younger brother didn't think that he was worthy of a party also. I think he would have agreed with the older brother. But when he received the grace of God, fortunately in that story, he was able to go back and see that his father was full of grace. And Jesus wants to share that message with us. But there's also that other message for us, for that professing Christian, for you to understand that you are not entitled to God's love any more than somebody else who is struggling or wrestling with something. And the other reality, I believe, is that the older brother failed to realize that the only difference between him and his younger brother is really God's grace. He could be the younger brother. He needs the father's kindness just as much as the younger brother needs the father's kindness. He needs the father's forgiveness and grace just as much as the younger brother needs the father's forgiveness and grace. And what's happened is he's let his good works blind him to see the grace of God. And I don't want anyone here listening to be like that either. If you're somebody who's listening and you're not pleased with your walk, you're not pleased with your walk before the Lord, I don't want you to think of yourself as a second-class Christian. I don't want you to think of yourself as not being saved per se. I do want you to always examine your heart, but not in a way of, does God love me now? But really, am I practicing what I believe? And if I'm not practicing asking the Lord for help and seeking God's help, knowing that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, but not examining yourself in a fear of God abandoning you, but rather examining yourself with the hope that God will honor it and will help you. But if you're somebody who is living a life that is holy, quote unquote, and good, but it's stopping you from seeing God's grace towards you and towards others, I also want to caution you to examine yourself as well. Because the older brother didn't realize he had a problem until what? The younger brother came home. Sometimes we can be so caught up in our moral goodness and good deeds that we forget about the whole gospel. It's so ironic, right? If somebody's living right and doing the right thing, they must be authentic. But the gospel is centered on one reality. Jesus did it all for us. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is the reason why we're accepted. It's not us. And everything we do with the same strength of God that allowed us to believe in the first place. Everything we do with the same strength of God that allowed us to believe in the first place. If you find that you're in a season of your life of strength, that's not because there's something awesome about you. It's because there's something awesome about God. And don't think if you're in a season of feeling maybe disconnected towards God, or maybe you're struggling or wrestling with temptation or sin, don't think that you're the younger brother, that God has forgotten you or abandoned you, or that he's going to respect you anymore as if you weren't struggling or in that season. God is ready to throw you a party. You just need to come to God and lay your stuff out on a table before him and repent and say, Lord, I'm not living up to how you asked me to live up. Please help me. And I believe that God is ready to forgive that person. It says in the Psalms that our Father is abundant in mercy, and he's ready to forgive. He's always ready to forgive. But if you have this view of your walk and God where it's just performance-based, like the older brother did, then you're going to miss out on all the benefits of God's love and kindness towards you. You know, we're used to hearing messages that God wants to bless you and he wants to do all this. And you know what? It's a half-truth. God does want to bless you. He does want to bless you. But he's interested in your holiness. And he's interested in being your holiness. He's interested in changing you through his love and through his unconditional acceptance. And he's interested in that kindness that he's showing you. The kindness that God is showing you is to not have you say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm all that. No, his kindness towards you is to lead you to repent and come back like the younger brother came back and live the right way. And if you're struggling to live the right way, we think of God's kindness as the open door to come back and to make different choices. And that he's never looking down on us as his children. So, you know, I hope this was clear. And again, I want the listener to be sensitive to God's grace and his love, and how that is used not for us to enter sin, not for us to enter a sinful lifestyle, but to exit one. And it's not for us to abuse, but for those who are feeling ashamed and discouraged to realize that they can be encouraged and celebrate their identity in Christ because of God's love, and let that change you. And ask God for help, because ultimately it's God that will change you. He will work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And if you're somebody who is feeling that tends to get frustrated or judgmental, or say things like, oh, I don't know if this person's saved or not, that you also, brother or sister, should examine yourself and ask, do I think that I'm entitled to something because of my conduct? Am I being an older brother, or am I rooting that person on to be changed by God's grace? Am I rooting that person on to be changed by God's love? Lord, I thank you for putting this on my heart, and I pray that it will be used to encourage and bless the listener to celebrate the cross and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to celebrate the reality of the Holy Ghost inside a person, allowing that person to go through a process that you've ordained, that you've scheduled, that is pleasing to you, and that anyone listening would be growing and transforming from glory to glory, and would be changing and knowing the height and the width and the depth and the length of your love. God, I ask this in your name. Amen.